Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, in the last half an hour, it's been announced that Lee Keegan has announced his retirement from inter-county football. And my next guest, Colm Keyes, writes in the Irish Independent or on independent.ie that Lee Keegan is considered by most to be Mayo's greatest footballer. And Colm is on the line. Good morning, Colm.
Morning, Claire.
Was this expected, the 33-year-old saying it's the end for his inter-county days?
I think it probably was, although his manager, Kevin McStay, did suggest last week that he was hopeful that he would play. But going back as far as last November, it was strongly speculated that Lee Keegan had enough, that he felt he could no longer give the commitment to Mayo after 12 years. And really, it is a significant loss for Mayo overall. He's been the embodiment of, very much the embodiment of that Mayo team that we've all been so familiar with in their battles with Dublin and Kerry over the last decade. And he was the one that inevitably, one of those that carried the fight so much so. It's a huge loss for them. But yes, to answer your question, it was expected.
Just remind us about his inter-county career. He was Footballer of the Year in 2016. He's been an All-Star five times.
Yeah, and for an All-Star, to be an All-Star five times, having never won an All-Ireland title, really is the measure of him. And very few players will win Footballer of the Year awards unless they are part of All-Ireland winning teams. So for him to achieve that, it really was something special. And he had such a hard mental edge for Mayo. Even a Mayo team that lost agonisingly so many All-Ireland finals, he played in all seven All-Ireland finals, including the 2016 replay. So he was there all the time. People will remember how he rallied Mayo in the second half of the last game, the last All-Ireland final in 2021 against Tyrone, which was probably their most disappointing defeat, but it was him that picked them up and drove them on when they were so far behind at one stage there. And that was typical of him all the time, to keep driving, to keep showing, even when things were getting away from him. He got the hardest jobs, picking up the most dangerous opponents all the time, and yet he managed to score so much at the other end. He scored 3 goals against Dublin in consecutive championship matches, and I think there's only one other player that has actually scored more goals against Stephen Cluxton. So that's the level I was at. He was just a brilliant defender and a brilliant Mayo player that they would really miss now.
He said himself, though, didn't he, that he was inclined to play on the edge.
He did play on the edge. I suppose people will remember him whipping off his GPS capsule and throwing it across the eye line of Dean Rock, as Dean Rock lined up that 2017 All-Ireland winning kick for the 3 in a row. And he would admit himself he pushed it too far. He was sometimes, but that was the game. You will always bend the rules a little bit, see what you can get away with. That's what he would have said repeatedly. So he was a great competitor, and I think he would have won the respect of a lot of opponents over the years.
Look, he's 33, he's got a family now, 2 young children, and he's been at it a long time. And Des Cahill is asking the question, Colm, on Twitter this morning, does he top the list of the greatest footballers never to win an All-Ireland?
Well, in the past, Dermot Earley, the great Roscommon footballer, would always have been considered the best player never to have won an All-Ireland medal. I think probably Lee Keegan is up there at this stage. He certainly, as I said at the outset, he's considered the greatest Mayo player, certainly in the modern era. He'd be going back to the 1950s when they last won an All-Ireland title for a competitor in that. But in the time since, there's no doubt Keegan was the best of them. And that places him very, very high in terms of all those without All-Ireland medals in terms of the best. I think he's right up there. I would agree with that.
That's Lee Keegan calling time on his inter-county career with Mayo, and we wish him well. Now, we want to talk to you, Colm, about this new look GAA inter-county season, which gets underway shortly. There'll be more matches, smaller windows for preparation, then this introduction of this round-robin mini-group system. So we'll start with the football championship. What's this going to look like?
Frantic, Claire, pass everyone by in a moment, really, because already it's pre-season now. The games are up and running, and the volume of games, the volume of football games, and combined with hurling, there has never been more games packaged into a smaller time frame, because the championship has obviously been condensed down to end at the end of July, to conclude at the end of July. That September, that old September traditional finish is gone. So they are packaging more games now into a shorter time frame, and that really leaves no room for anything, really. No margin for error, for obviously replays are gone. So I would say frantic, and really Hard to know how it'll all play out because of the volume of games and obviously training to match ratio will be way down, which was a problem for the GAA in the past.
So clearly, Colm, that you know this new format, that there won't be as much time for teams to get ready for their next match.
Yeah, if you take the end of the league, for instance, the league finals are on in the first weekend in April. A week later, 18 teams will be out for their first round championship matches. That's how fast and furious it goes. And really, after that, there won't really be a break unless you're beaten early in your provincial championship. You get a bit of time, but if you keep winning, you keep playing. And with the round robin structure, after the provincial championships are over, the qualifiers break into round robin groups. So that increases the number of games. I would reckon there are 198 championship games between hurling and football. And football, there's 99 each. That's an increase from 60 last year. So you're going from 60 championship games up to 99 this year. It's a huge increase.
It's a massive increase, and it's a big ask of amateur players, isn't it?
It is, because if an amateur player or any player picks up an injury, and it's a soft tissue injury, hamstring, groin, anything like that, that's going to take 4 to 6 weeks. Going to miss a lot of games, so really the championship, the whole season could be over before they know it. And that's probably been the case last year as well, because of the compression of time and the split season, and it's known that gives clubs greater time at the back end of the year to play all their fixtures with their full complement of players. They don't have that overlap of intercounty and club fixtures, so it's really you play all your intercounty games at the first 6-7 months of the year, and then the club fixture program is rolled out after that without any interference. There's no overlap, so it suits players very much, but it does increase the volume of games because they are expected to play in them all at that stage. There's no overlap, there's no way they can sit out one or the other, so it really does tax them. And obviously there are many, many different spin-offs from that. More games, the question is, will the supporters come out in such great numbers as they have in the past for that many games? That's all to be seen. So it really is into the unknown for the GAA with this, because of the volume of games and the way it has been set out.
And obviously everyone will be watching how this is accepted amongst the counties, the management, the players, the fans. The hierarchy will be watching that very closely, you would think.
Yes, they will, because obviously they'll be looking at it from, as we said, the player welfare side of things. Is there too many games packed into a short space of time? Potentially, some players could play 19 games between league and championship, throw in a few pre-season games, and that's up to 21, 22, 23 games, perhaps, if you were to play the full complement of games. That wouldn't happen, obviously, because managers are, you know, they're good at switching players in and out and knowing when to pull them back and that. But still, 20 games in a 7-month period for an amateur player, it is quite a lot, but it's probably what they want. They would prefer to play much more than train, which has been the reverse of what has been the norm for many, many years, where intercounty players could train. I think the training to game ratio was 13-1 at one stage, which was very, very high in any sport. So from that point of view, they'll be looking at the welfare issue. They'll also be looking at the financial issue, as I said earlier. Will the volume of crowds be there for so many games? Will the interest be there to attend all the games? Or will we be looking at maybe a dilution in some way because there are so many games?
It's very hard for us to get used to there not being a championship, the end of the championship in September, isn't it? It all finishing up at the end of July. But the aim is to create more space for the club competitions.
Well, it is, and it's a participation sport first and foremost. And the vast volume of players are club players. So therefore, to give them that time in proper weather, in decent weather, when they're not forced to finish their club programs in November and December, is really what's the aim. That is the aim. And it has taken quite a sacrifice for the GAA to do this. They've obviously had to cut out replays because of the tightness of the schedule. And there is that removal of that August window, those big fixtures through August that they were so used to throughout that month. It was a great shop window for the GAA. But having said that, to have so many players involved in club fixtures at the back end of the year, that's the aim. As I said, it's a participation sport. And I think maybe the calendar is not settled yet. Maybe it needs another week. It is very, very compressed. It's very tight. And in time, I'm sure we'll see it move slightly back into August. But I don't think much further.
OK, so you think that there is a little bit of settling to happen yet, but it's not going to go back to the old September All-Ireland final model?
No, I would not see it return to September. At most, I would see another week into the first weekend, maybe the second weekend in August, but no more, because obviously club programmes have to be completed at the other end. But no September return.
Changes as well, Colm, as to how people can watch the coverage, because Sky Sports have exited the broadcasting rights market. So now all the attention is on RTE Sport and also GAA Go.
Yeah, so GAA Go came out quickly and announced a package, a very, very generous package, actually, to watch a 30A once it was subscribed to before Christmas, €50 for 38 game program, going up to 70 now, and quite a decent number of games too that are being broadcast by GAA Go. Again, another venture into the unknown for the GAA, but it probably does give them greater flexibility. Because of the volume of games, in the past, Sky Sports, no games could go up against the Sky Sports programmes on a Saturday evening. But with GAA Go now, there is that flexibility to put games on simultaneously, obviously one on RTE perhaps and one on GAA Go at the same time. And it gives viewers better choice, but also with the volume of games, gives greater flexibility in how to for fixture makers to set out the program.
Well, let's see how the frantic next few months goes, Colm. Thanks very much, Colm Keyes, GAA correspondent with the Irish Independent. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.